this one also.
Okay, so I got this bag, and I haven't got a new name on it. It still says Gatorade, but I call this my Oh Yeah bag. Okay, because anything you ask me, it's in here. So you ask me, you're like, do you have that? I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay? So, what would y'all say if a person needed help, maybe they were really hurt, what would they need? If they had a cut on their arm, what would they need? A cookie? Maybe a cookie after the Band-Aid? Okay, so Band-Aid. We got Band-Aid. Okay, so I don't have a Band-Aid, but how about this, okay? So you would give that to the hurt person. Is that good? Okay. Rubber duck. Okay, say someone was really hungry, what do they want? Cookie. They want a cookie. Absolutely. Okay, so the cookie, I'll give you the, okay. Yeah, don't have a cookie, but I have this sock. Okay, so if I was riding in my car, y'all still here? Y'all still here with me? Hey, if I was riding in my car, what do I start the car with? What do I need? Keys? Yeah, I got that right here. Yeah. Okay, so I don't have keys, but do you think a candle will work? Light your car on fire. I didn't think of that one. Okay, that's kind of crazy. Hey, are y'all good over there? It's kind of crazy, right? If someone, hey guys, stop. If we needed something to eat, we're really hungry. What if someone gave us a sock? That's crazy, right? Well, I was writing down right here. The message says don't. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game. It's just saying that we can ask the Lord exactly what we need because we're His children, and He'll give us exactly what we need because He's made us for those. So if we're hungry, He's not going to give us a sock. And if we need to drive in our car, He's not going to give us a great thing. Yes, sir. That's something that if we ask the Lord for things, we need to go to Him expecting that He loves us and that He's going to give us those things, okay? And that's what we're going to learn back there, and the adults in here, Mr. Allen's going to teach them just how faithful and how good a dad God is, okay? We're going to head back there right after our prayer, right? Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these kids that are excited and just willing us to show up every week. Our life, trust these kids to us so that we can learn from each other. It's not just about the Father. We're a family. We're a family. I just pray that we'll learn that in here tonight. But we're a family with a good dad. I pray that that would be good to the adults in here, kids back there. I pray that the adults will pray for us that that your spirit will be in this building.
Good evening. How's everybody doing out there tonight? Come on now. Come on now. Y'all know we ain't going to start with all that. All right. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. We serve a God who is an amazing God. Amen. He loves us, and for some reason, He wants to hear from us. You know, He likes it when we talk to Him. Amen. So tonight's message is titled, Actively Pursue God, Ask, Seek, and Knock. And man, I want to focus on that actively pursue God, because I'm going to tell you, this half-hearted stuff that we see a lot of times is just, it's just sickening to our Lord, okay? We want to be people who are sold out to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen? All right, come on now. We ain't going no further, y'all don't get no better than that, all right? Because all through this series, True Righteousness Revealed, we've been challenged to examine our hearts, our motives, and in a number of areas, our actions. Okay, we've been challenged. Okay, and you think, what kind of loving God challenges us? A loving God. Okay, because he wants to show us what true righteousness is, because if we were left to ourselves, we really aren't bent towards true righteousness, right? And I know for me, it's been an amazing time of growth. Any more amens out there? I'm going to tell you what. I have grown spiritually through this series, and we're finishing it up here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But I'm going to tell you, God has done some amazing things in my own heart here, and I hope he has in yours, okay? So if you miss one of the sermons, man, we put them on the city and all them places where y'all, all that techno stuff, you know, y'all like, okay? You can listen to it at home, okay? And so we really ask that you do that, because I don't want you to miss the impact of some of these sermons, because there's been some great stuff for me personally. I mean, because Jesus' view of what is truly righteous is often in direct contrast with what we feel and think is right. That's me for sure. But humans by nature are very self-centered and self-sufficient. Anybody? Any self-centered, self-sufficient people out there? We think we can figure things out ourselves. Amen? I mean, but left to ourselves, we've already found out just in the last 3 weeks, we've already found out that we will, left to ourselves, we'll store for ourselves treasures on earth. That's what we're going to do. Okay, we're just left to ourselves. We worry about our life and the focus on our circumstances, allowing the sin of worry to rob us of our intimacy with the Lord. See, I did that, and I really believe by that diet, that service, I really believe a lot of y'all have been robbed from the sin of worry, okay? But I'm going to tell you, greater is he than us that he is in the world, right, man? I mean, worry, man, it's awesome. I get past it. I don't get to get nervous anymore because y'all get to rebuke me, amen? That's good. That's good. That's good accountability, because it makes me deal with my stuff, okay? And that's exactly what this series is about. We got to deal with our stuff, okay? The things that keep us from going closer to God, we need to deal with them, okay? And like we learned last week, when we fail to recognize sin in our own lives, we do not even have the ability to make right judgments. See, we judge people wrongly when we don't even judge our sin right, okay? Because sin's job is to do what? It's to destroy us and to just take that relationship that the Lord wants for us and make it distant. Okay? That's what sin for, and that's what it does. And that's what sin does. And for us to make right judgments, we need to first check ourselves. And then, after we check ourselves, this is what we do as Christians. We actively pursue God through fervent prayer. Okay? Because God is the only one who has the answers for our world's problems. Amen? Okay? He's got the answer for everything. And it's the idea of fervent prayer. And that word, strained or stretched. I mean, how many of y'all's prayer life is something that strains or stretches you? Okay? It's just a little missile prayer or something like that, you know. But I tell you, we need to be continually calling out to God. We have to fight sin with prayer. Okay? We got to fight sin with prayer. And so, church, I'm going to tell you, it's vital that we get the impact of this sermon series. I mean, because if we just go through this and all of a sudden we walk out of here, we're just the same people before and we don't change. I'm going to tell you what, we have wasted a lot of good time and energy, all right? Because people are watching to see if what we claim is real. See, there's people that come in here every Saturday that say, well, them people real? What's going on with them people? You know, I see them raising their hands and stuff like that, but are they real? People want to know if we're real. Are we really people who are striving to become truly righteous by actively pursuing God? Or are we just trying to do enough to look good in front of others and just get by, okay? That's the typical deal from most churches, okay? Let's get by. Let's look good. As long as the attendance, all these kind of things are right, as long as everything looks good, we're okay, okay? Heaven forbid, I tell you that. Well, see, many of you have even tried to make some changes, but still find yourself struggling with some of the same things over and over. Anybody out there? Go ahead. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. All right. You might as well, because, I mean, here's the thing. We don't need to keep struggling, but we do. But that's why we need each other, and that's why we need a mighty God, and he allows us to approach him in our time of need. Okay? We've got an amazing God. But it's impossible to live in victory and make right judgments without the power of the Holy Spirit. And knowing what the Bible says is not enough. I've got some verses up there. Y'all got those for me? 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, ungodly, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with that. Man, what's that all about, Alan? I mean, does that describe our world today? If he's in the last, I'm going to tell you, people, we are in the last days. If this is what the last days looks like, we're already here, okay? And so lovers of money, and that may be, even be some of y'all, as you go through that list, you say, man, that's me, okay? It says, have nothing to do with them. If we ever needed God's perspective in judging that around us, it's today, okay? And so today we're going to be talking about, in Matthew 7 and 11, ask, seek, and knock. You know, and basically that's normally a sermon on prayer, okay? And as we were just discussing that as a team of Butch and I and Alan, you know, God really showed Butch something on that. And because really the only way that you can ever, I mean, we could talk about prayer. We could do a whole sermon series on prayer, okay? But when we hit prayer in these series, we have to make sure that we're talking about the context in which what's going on here, okay? And so look at the verse right before Matthew 7:7-11, okay? Matthew 7:6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then tear you to pieces. So what does that mean, Alan? See, this idea of prayer and judgment, you just can't separate the two. Okay, because right after that he says, okay, you've got these pigs. Basically what he's asking us to do in there is to not share the gospel with people who have already rejected, because it's like casting pearls before swine. Okay? But the very next statement is a call to prayer. Okay? Even though there's times in our lives when the world's wicked and we just cannot deal with people, we judge their sin, okay? We don't give them the gospel anymore because they've trampled it under their feet, okay? But that does not mean we do not pray for them, okay? All right, we do not give up on people, okay? We do not give up on people. And so we do pray for them. And so we're gonna look at some of that tonight, okay? But see, but for us to make right discernment and right judgment, we have to know, okay, God, who are the pigs? Okay? Who are the dogs? Okay? The only way that you're going to know that is if you ask God. Okay? The only way you're going to know what you spend your money on is if you're going to ask God. See, this whole series has been designed and geared to just make us fall in love with God, because we can't do nothing without Him. Amen? I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? Nothing. And apart from Him, you should do nothing. You're going to mess up the kingdom. You try to do something in your own power, okay? And James, and so what do we do, okay? How do we know? James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, if a man lacks wisdom, he should ask God. If you don't know, ask God. If you don't know, ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And in verse 6, it says we should be asking without doubt, okay? Doubt comes from thinking that you've got to do it. And when you ask God, you say, God, it's on you, okay? Ask God. So in the rest of this series, we're going to be asked to judge. And another reason I think that you got to tie judgment and prayer in on this one is because right after this, the very next one, we're going to be judged the right gospel. We're talking about the narrow and the wide road. I mean, there's a right and a wrong way to get to God. Okay? And we're going to be asked to judge right fruits and right teaching. So for us to think that Jesus just popped a deal on prayer and that's all it's supposed to be about, and that we're not supposed to be judging others, and we're not supposed to be thinking about things, and we're not supposed to be asking God, what about these false teachers? You got to be the one to teach me that. And it should draw us to prayer, okay? It should make us want to pray, knowing that there's so much heresy out there. You could build yourself on a wrong foundation. There's so many things that we could do wrong as Christians if we just go by what the world tells us. So we need God. We need God. We need His perspective. We need that. And so the only way and the best avenue that we have is through prayer. Okay? God shows up and He talks through people like me, and He talks through you, and He talks through things. But I'm going to tell you what, prayer is the avenue in which God needs, where we need our God. Okay? So Christ knew that only through God, living in total dependence on Him, being poor in spirit, remember that part? See, when you get your spirit out of the way, then God got some room to do something. All right? That we could ever have hope to live this life and to live out these values He's called us to. See, we got to get out of the way and we got to turn it over to God. We must actively pursue God. Actively pursue God, people. Don't just wait for God to just show up, OK? okay? Actively pursue God in prayerful dependence. How many of y'all really depend on God for everything? Ouch, huh? We're pretty self-sufficient sometimes. We don't have to depend on God for everything. But I'm going to tell you what, God wants us to depend on Him for everything. And we ask Him for strength. Man, how many? Yeah, we got, there's going to be some hands for that, okay? And wisdom. Man, I need God all the time for wisdom. And we need to ask Him for discernment. Because we don't know the whole truth, but God does, okay? So God will give us that spirit of discernment. And we got to ask Him for courage sometimes, because some of us are just a bunch of wimps, you know? When I say that, that's me too, you know? Because I don't, man, I had a guy, I know he's lost. I didn't share the gospel with him. I just kind of try to backdoor evangelize him, you know? That's good too. Sometimes God lets you do that. But I'm going to tell you what, when God puts it on your heart that you need to go straight in, you need to go straight in. Okay? And I haven't really, I'm just telling you, I need somebody like Josh with me. And Josh should just go straight in. You know? That's why when we end up going out and doing some of the evangelizing stuff we do, I'm going to go with somebody like that. Y'all got, some of y'all straightforward might have to go with me. I'll show you how to backdoor some of those folks. But every bit of it is motivated by love. Okay, because people need Jesus, right? People need Jesus. And I wanted to read a deal these are some books from the prayer class, How to Develop a Powerful Prayer Line. And I want to read the introduction to this one by Frizzell. It says, prayer is the heart and soul of every successful relationship with God. In fact, prayer is absolutely crucial to every area of a believer's life. To illustrate that point, consider the following questions. How did you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? How do you abide in Christ and allow Him to live His life through you? How do you grow as a Christian? How do you overcome temptation and weakness? How do you resist Satan and wage effective spiritual warfare? How do you confess your sins? How are you filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you obtain the guidance and wisdom from God? How do you experience the power to serve God effectively? The answer to every single question is prayer. Y'all think we need some prayer? That covers a lot of things we need as Christians, right? Indeed, prayer is essential to every part of our relationship with God. We need God. We need to have an avenue where we can speak to God. We need to make that a priority in our life. John 5:15-8 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. This is what God wants from us, that we bear much fruit. That's why He made that relationship for us, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay? But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, there's some conditions for God to answer those prayers, okay? We really need to be super. So that's what we're going to find out tonight. Ask. I'm going to just start in Matthew 7. Say, well, let me pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, God. God, I thank you that you changed me. God, and I thank you for the fact that I can't do nothing without you. Lord, I pray if there's any prideful, talented, rich, whatever it is, God, people out here that keep them from you, Lord, I pray you humble people tonight. God, I pray that people get to see that they need you. So God, I just ask tonight, freedom in this place, Lord, call out to you with all we have, Lord. Matthew 7:7-11. We're going to do 7 and 8 verses. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. And then that word ask, it's a command. He's commanding us to go to God in prayer, okay? I mean, it's a personal thing. Ask. To go to God in prayer, and it comes with a promise, you know, that everyone who seeks will find, and knock, the door will be open to you, you know, and all this is a personal thing. It says it will be given to you, and seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. It's a personal thing. God wants us to come to Him in prayer, and it's a personal thing. He woos us personally. But you know what's so funny about us is people, we have this same verse that people would take this and bend it to the fact where they can just name it and claim it. See, this sounds great. This is the basis for much name it and claim it theology. You know, so that I'm just going to call out to God. I'm going to ask in faith, and whatever I ask, as long as I do the little system right, then God is obligated to answer my prayer. That's not what this is saying. Okay? That's not what this is saying. Because that's self-centered. See, that makes you God. All right? Because all of a sudden you can manipulate God. But I'm going to tell you, there's some promises for the believer that if you ask, God will answer you. Okay? We're going to look at some of those in just a second. And you know, that name it claims stuff, that's why so many people are taken back when things don't work out. Because that is not truth. Okay? And it's not going to work out. I heard of a guy one time, one of the faith healers. I mean, he got sick. All right? Well, he claimed his healing. He claimed his healing. All right? He claimed his healing. Well, he ain't getting no better. Well, he decided to go to the doctor, but he wore him a disguise. Because he didn't want nobody to know that he didn't have enough faith to heal himself. Okay? Let me just tell you what. That's a sad God to serve right there. Okay? That's a sad God, because our God is a healing God. Okay? But he heals according to his will. And so for us to even get an idea of what that looks like, see, what he's saying here, we have to put this thing back in context too. And so to do that, turn back over to Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Okay? What prayer is all about, all right? This is then how you should pray. This is the model prayer. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Nothing to do with my needs, okay? It's our Father. We're recognizing him. It's all about God. Prayer's all about God. It's a your kingdom come and your will be done. Okay, we're coming to God because you're God and I'm not. Okay? And so I need you. It's your kingdom come, your will be done. That's the attitude, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. And even when you ask for something, look what it says. It says, "Give us today our daily bread." It ain't God bless me, make me rich. God do all this. God feed me. This is give us today our daily bread. We serve a God. My God's your God. Okay? And for me to ask just for me, sometimes it's selfish. Now I'm going to tell you, God is a personal God, and you can cry out to him personally. All right? Don't let me get past, but I'm going to tell you, we have got to get past that's all prayer is. Okay? We got to realize that prayer is about others. Prayer is about God. Okay? Prayer is not making God form to you. It's trying to make you form to God. Okay? James 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him. That if we ask anything according to what? His will. He will hear us. See, that his will. According to his will. If you ask and according to God's will, you're going to get it every time. Okay? But part about a sinful man, we don't know what God's will is. But I'm going to tell you what. Through the Holy Spirit, God will tell you his will. All right? He will. Matthew 6:33. But here's how you know God's will. You seek first his kingdom. Okay? His kingdom, his reign on earth. Your life on earth, God is in control of. Okay? You seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The way you live, your righteous life, the right living because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what you submit to his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He was talking about daily needs at that particular point, but I'm going to tell you, God answers prayers if we do our part. Okay? If you seek first, you're going to know God's will. Right? You're going to know God's will. But the reason that we don't get our answers, James 4:3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives." See, you can ask God all you want to, and he knows your heart. Okay? Just like he knows the Pharisee, just like he knew all the teachers of the law, he knew their heart. God knows your hearts. You can't pull nothing over on God. All right? So when you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. See, when you ask for them personally, you're not even thinking of God or others. And true prayer is to God. You're speaking to God. But I'm going to tell you, it always, you didn't get saved just for you. All right? Your salvation ain't even for you. It's for others. Okay? If you got saved and just went to heaven, why wouldn't he just bring you then? Why'd he leave you here? Okay? It's not about that. It's about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And although many people have turned prayer into their personal tool to get what they want from God, in this section of Scripture, Jesus is revealing to his disciples that constant communication with God is the only way that they will ever be able to accomplish his will for their lives. Constant communication, okay? And there's something in experiencing God, y'all take it, I think Brian was saying y'all hit it last week. There's a question a lot of us ask. We go to experiencing God, that the name of that course is knowing and doing the will of God. We want to know what God's will is for our life, okay? But that's the wrong question. The right question is, what is God's will? See, God loves you, but God's will for your life is really immaterial in the big scheme of things. Okay? When you know God's will, you know God's will for your life because you're told to join God in what He's doing. Okay? All right? So we need to quit asking God, okay, God, where am I going to live? All this. You can ask for daily things like that. I go off sometimes, too. Okay? But I'm going to tell you what. God's will is more important than your life. Okay? All right? Jesus is also telling us to persist in pursuing God. See, every one of us make choices on a daily basis in judgments. We go out and we judge people, we talk to them, we make judgments, we confront people and stuff, and make choices in our life without ever even considering God at all. Right? Anybody out there? Or is it just me? I'm not going to say that every day, though. I'm better than that. God's better than that through me, because I'm going to tell you what, I love Jesus too much to try to be messing up every day. Okay? Because the Spirit of God in me will not let me mess up every day, because there's a relationship in there that God says, you better get right. You know? If we just ask God, it could eliminate so many things. You know? In the area of your finances, if we just ask God, see, we just don't do that. If we just ask God. It says there, ask, seek, and knock. And I want y'all to look at those two, those three. All three of those are in the present tense. That's something we're supposed to be doing all the time. See, faith always operates in the present. You can say you believe what happened long ago, and you can believe what possibly could happen, but true faith is walking in the present. Okay? If whatever you believe about God, you're walking it out immediately. Okay? So if you believe that God answers your prayer and you're not asking Him, you don't believe God answers your prayer. Okay? Faith. These are present tense things. Ask, seek, and knock. These are things that we should do. Basically, what he's saying here is pray. Pray often. Pray with sincerity and seriousness. Pray again. Somebody. Sometimes we just pray and we just forget about it. We think, well, God didn't answer that one. You know? But we just don't pray again. Man, pray again. God wants to hear from you every day. Every minute of the day. Keep on asking. Don't give up. I beg you, church, do not give up on people you've been praying for years. Okay? Please don't give up on them, because God didn't give up on you. But you have not, because you ask not. And I learned that pretty vividly, because really, I'm kind of a prideful guy. You know, when it comes to asking people for help, money, things like that, you know, I just really don't, I don't like to do that. You know, for some reason, dudes are that way sometimes, you know? But even this week, my son is thinking about possibly going to Haiti, you know. He got no money. And he's like, man, where's the money going to come from? I said, God. And there's a guy that works with us, and he's got something that God's got. He was talking about he had some charity or something that they were giving away money. And I just said, man, you got something for help a brother out to Haiti fund? And he said, you know, by the way, I'm the president of that thing. I think we can work that out, you know? And we're like, praise the Lord. I mean, if you don't even ask, you don't get. Man, I know some friends of mine, I don't even like to be around them, because they're going to ask you for anything, all right? They will. But you know what? They have a lot of stuff I don't have, because they ask, okay? Man, how'd you get that for free? I asked, you know? I mean, man, it's crazy. And I'm going to tell you what, little Grant, he's going to sell as many candy bars as anybody in this place. He going to ask you, do you want to buy a candy bar? He is not afraid to ask. So I really think, people, that there's something to that, because God wants us to ask. God, there's something about asking that God desires, okay? And if you don't ask, you may not ever know. All right? So ask. Ask as a beggar asks for alms. Be desperate. Some of y'all need God so bad, y'all need to beg Him. Don't need God so bad to show up in your life right now, and you need to beg Him. Be desperate, because here's what I know about my God. He responds to disparity. When you're in despair, when you're at the lowest of low, and you can't go no further, God's got your back. He wants to lift you up. That's the God I serve. Recognizing Him as the supplier and the provider. That's another thing asking does. See, okay, God, you're the one who got it, so might as well come to you. I need it. I'm going to tell you what right now, I don't care what your need is, God has what you need. Okay? Whatever it is, I man, you can justify all you want to, but my God's bigger than anything you can justify. Just tell me. I I promise you. Ask as a traveler, ask the way. Ouch, man, huh? We don't ever ask for no directions, do we? Well, we'll drive around lost for years before we'll ever ask any directions. But I'm like, there's something real right there. Because if you ain't got Jesus, you're lost. You might as well ask. I mean, you might as well ask directions, because if you just go online, you're just going to get lost-er. I don't even know if that's a word. But I'm going to tell you, I've been lost-er. I've been lost. I'm like, man, just keep driving. Go faster. That seems to be the bill. The more lost you get, just drive faster, you know? At least you're going to get somewhere quicker. But that is not the truth. That's not the truth, folks. We need to ask God. We need to ask God for direction. As a traveler, we need to ask God, God, where do you want me to go? Man, I don't want to be 10 years down the road and find out 10 years ago he wanted me to be here. Okay? Some of y'all people are making decisions in your life that you need to have a word with God. If you have a weak prayer life, you don't need to be making any decisions in your life. Okay? So if you got something that's got a little bit time-sensitive thing, get right with God. Start praying. I mean, you know, okay? And asking this shows a courtesy. Okay? When you ask God, I mean, it's a courtesy. It's like, God, I recognize that I don't have all the answers. It's a courtesy when you ask somebody something. Okay? And it shows that you recognize authority when you ask. And it's humility sometimes, that's in my case. It takes a little bit of humility to do that. But most of the time, to ask somebody something, most of the time, not in Grant's case, most of the time, you need to have a relationship with somebody. And we have a relationship with the Lord, and that gives us the right. When he made us his children, that gave us the right to interrupt him anytime. Okay? Seeking, that takes it a little step further. Okay? You've done asking, you're pursuing the Lord, you're seeking, you're actively pursuing him. And what does seeking look like sometimes? I'm seeking, you pray, God doesn't give you the answer, you need a little bit more wisdom, we can find wisdom in God's word. Sometimes, some of y'all are seeking a job, or you ask for a job, but you ain't filled out one application. You're not seeking. Okay? Sometimes seeking is something, taking it that next step, okay? Seeking as a believer, you've got some decisions to make. You ask God and pray about it, but you ain't opened your Bible, okay? These are some kind of things that we got to do. If you're going to be a seeker, it's something that's a little bit further. It's a little bit more, okay? It's actively pursuing. It tells God, it lets God know that we're serious about that, okay? See, Alan talked about it in our deal. He's talking about his little daughter. You know, sometimes she'll call daddy, you know? He just won't answer, you know? And he said, if it's real serious, she'll come around the corner. Daddy, you know. And if it's real serious, she'll go knock on the door and push the door open and say, Daddy, you know. But sometimes our seeking shows God that we're a little bit more serious about it. Because some of the times we just praying to pray, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, there's issues in our life that we got to keep on seeking, listening to his word, get wise counsel, and ask God. Once you get up from your prayer, ask God, what's God trying to show you? Okay? Because God is trying to show you something. In that time of prayer, there's some listening time in there too. Okay? What is God trying to show you? In a learning experience of God, a lot of times we'll pray and then we'll get up from that prayer and just go get busy, and we won't even have our spiritual concentration on. God will answer the prayer and we won't even know it. See, you got to believe when you pray. You got to believe, hey, God's going to answer that when I get up. Okay? So that's seeking. You get up, active looking. Let's look. Okay, God, man, you answered that prayer real quick. Just like the deal with the money. Man, we got our prayer answered. We didn't even pray. We got it done. You know, we just asked. I guess that is praying. Y'all gonna get me excited. And y'all know how to seek, okay? Because we all seek things that value to us. Some of y'all are never gonna miss a sale. You know, because you got every clipping, you got every, whatever it is, okay? You're not gonna miss a sale. Some of y'all know every workings of a gun, bow, guitar, all these things that we do. Y'all know what's a good deal. Y'all know the work. Y'all done researched anything. I mean, y'all done researched more things. Y'all seek harder for those kind of things than for the things of God. Okay? So we know how to seek is what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. I don't really have to explain that word to you, because a lot of y'all seeking after some stuff you don't really need to be seeking about. and we seek things that we can't find. Okay? Answers. Sometimes we need some answers. And one of the most frequent uses of this word is an expression to inquire of God. That's what that word meant in the Greek. Or to inquire of God, that's seeking. All right? Seeking. And for me, it was this message. I'm going to tell y'all, I was sitting at my computer, almost every commentator, and as I looked at this, I said, man, Jesus just interrupted everything, went to prayer, you know? And so I was sitting there working on that, and I couldn't understand why I wasn't getting total clarity about this message. And then Butch sent his notes, you know, that's the blessing of getting to do what we get to do. I get to steal stuff from Butch, you know? But you know what? It ain't stealing from Butch. It's making sure that the Word of God is proclaimed rightly, okay? And it's awesome to be able to do that, and it's a great tool for me. But he sent me those deals, and I was like, how did I miss that? You know? But I'm going to tell you what, as I did that, I said, okay, God, I missed something. I'll tell you what, I went to seek it. I prayed first, like, golly, man, God, what happened? I mean, he was tight. You know? But sometimes, see, God doesn't just answer those things real quick. God wants you to struggle just a little bit. God wants you to seek. God wants you to persevere, because you get spiritual muscles when you do that. If I would just ask God something and he would just answer right then, you know what? I'd be like a spoiled kid. It's every time you asked your dad something, he just gave it to you and it didn't cost you nothing. You didn't have to work for it or anything like that. I'm going to tell you what, you'd be one spoiled kid. There might be some of y'all out there. I don't know. I wasn't one. My mama, whooped me. But you know what? Because she loved me. That's it. She kept me out of jail. You know? I'm more scared of her than I was in jail. You know? I guarantee you. This message, man, it was so good because I got to know at the end of this deal, I got to preach back to myself, because I know before I got up here that I've been asking, seeking, and knocking. See, so I can claim the promises of those words of God. I know no matter what I say, God's going to be glorified by what I'm doing here tonight. Okay? Because he said the door will be open. I trust God. Okay? As long as I'm doing my part. Okay? One thing for sure about seeking, if you quit looking, you ain't never going to find it. Okay? Because a lot of us just want to give up. It gets hard. We don't really just want to give up. Right? You're going to quit looking. You'll never find it. So, you know, as we look at others, you know, people in our lives, I mean, we're seeking God for how to pray for these family members that we want to know our God so badly, you know. So we need to know, God, who do I rebuke, God? Because rebuke is love. Okay, discipline is love. Okay, who do I do that to, God? Or who do I just allow to go? Who do I backdoor evangelize? Who, God, how do I work in people's lives? Who do I know to let go on their own? Okay. He said, let me worry about that. You seek me, okay? So I got two different guys, both Christians, that I'm dealing with. And man, God's giving me two different answers for the different guys, okay? Because I've told one guy over and over and over, I'm going to tell you what, the pearl before swine burst, bam. Okay, that's it. I'm going to leave him alone for a little while, you know? But this other guy, man, God keeps putting him on my heart. Both of them are doing ignorant stuff, you know? God keeps putting him on my heart, so I just keep calling. Just keep calling. Sometimes we seek God by getting the plank out of our own eye. That's a way that you can seek God, okay? That's called repentance. You know, and if you're bound in prayer and you're asking God about somebody and he brings a sin on your life, your unwillingness to will hinder your prayers, okay? I promise you. 2 Chronicles 34:3, Josiah, King Josiah, he came and as he took the kingdom, he looked around and there were so many idols around here. That's one way that he sought the Lord, by destroying all the idols. So he got to looking at all these idols and all these proposals, and he said, man, I'm going to ask God to bless me. I'm going to ask God to help me. He ain't going to do that with all these idols. I mean, I got to get rid of these idols so I can be right with God, okay? And some of y'all, when you get into your seeking, that's what we have to do. We need to get right with God, okay? Get rid of some of those things. And that's a way that you can seek God. Some of y'all's lifestyle will not allow God to bless you. He can't bless you because of the way you live, okay? He ain't trying to beat you up about the way you're living. He wants to bless you. Okay? So anytime you hear a message in a way and you get convicted, just get right, because repentance is such an easy thing to do, man. Because God loves you. God loves you, man. Butch, I remember Butch, when I first started going to living, how he talked about repentance. And he talked about how you're running away from God. And when you decide to follow God, when you turn back, you bump into God. Because God is right here. Okay? God's right there. He is following you. God is pursuing you. So when you decide to get rockets, it's just one turn away, and God's right there to love you. Okay? That's the God I serve. God loves you. He ain't trying to beat you up. And in David, in Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. I'm going to tell you what. God can deliver you from all your fears. And I mean, it's just a peace knowing that it's in God's hand. Amen? I mean, man, some of that stuff y'all got weighing you down. Man, you need to throw it on God. Get it off of you. Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 31:21. In everything he undertook in the service of the Lord in the temple and in obedience to the law and the commandments, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. There's some key words right there. In everything. We got some compartmental Christians in here tonight, you know. We're going to give God a little bit, you know. We're going to give God part of our life, but he said in everything, okay. What does that look like? That looks like radical Christianity. Okay, and that looks like true righteousness. That's what God calls us to be. Okay, in everything, there's nothing in your Christian life that as a child of Christ that's just yours, and God ain't got no use to it. Okay, God, every area of your life, He saw His God. Okay, and that shows me a man who's dependent on prayer. All right, but it's not something we do naturally, right? Okay, y'all getting kind of quiet. Not something that we do naturally. Romans 3:10-12. There's no righteous one, not even one. So some of y'all out there thinking, man, that dude's getting all over me. Man, I ain't the only one. Everybody, ain't no one righteous. Okay? Not even one. It says, there's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Okay? On your own, no one seeks God, and all have turned. But see, that, instead of getting you down, that ought to that ought to bring revival in this place. Because here's the thing, when you seek God, it's God. God causes you to seek Him, okay? So if you even have an inkling to want to follow God, I want you to know that's the Creator of the earth and the universe wooing you. That's what that is, okay? That is God, because you're not going to seek God on your own. God is coming to you. If you even have a thought in your mind that, man, this dude, man, I want what this dude's got. Man, he's kind of weird, but I want what he's got, you know? But I'm going to tell you, if that's the case, man, that's God. Because you don't conjure up those thoughts on your own, okay? God loves you, man, and He is pursuing you. But the wicked heart is not seeking God. Psalm 10:4 says, in his pride the wicked, see, there's that pride stuff again. In his pride the wicked does not seek Him. In all his thoughts there is no room for God. If there ain't no room for God in your thoughts, I'm going to tell you what. You really, honestly, because next week we're going to talk about the narrow and the wide road. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have any room for God in your thoughts, you calling yourself a Christian, I'm going to tell you what, you really need to do some self-examination. Okay? One, you're either not a Christian, or you're a severely crippled Christian. Okay? Either way, you're devil bait. Alright? But the beauty of it is, just like the repentance, all it takes is turning around and say, God, I'm wrong. God, I'm wrong. You're right. I believe everything about Jesus. I know I've been running. But God, you are the God that I'm seeking. You turn to Him in repentant faith, you confess your sins. The Bible says you're saved. Your new creation, God, the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself comes and takes up residence in your life. Okay? That's what happens. It's that easy to do. And through that avenue of prayer, it's easy to maintain. Okay? And I'm just dumb enough to believe that God can do anything. Okay? That's why I put these things out to you. Man, everything. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that. I'm just dumb enough to believe that God can do anything. And a seeker of God always chooses Jesus first. Okay? Trouble hits, choose Jesus. Always, a seeker always chooses Jesus first. And some of y'all think, man, why does God seem to be working so mightily in some people's life and not in mine? Then people are seeking God. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you, you will seek, He will be found. Okay? If you seek God, you're going to find Him. Okay? Because God's not hiding from you. You're going to find Him, I promise you. And knock. That's taking it even a step further. Knock, it's a physical act. Okay? it's faith in action. I mean, you seek and you ask, but then at some point, God's going to ask you to step out in faith, okay? And that's persevering in prayer. That knocking to me tells me you don't ever give up. Perseverance, okay? Knocking for some of you may be a fast. Okay, we talked about fasting in there. That might be that next step. That may be that physical thing that says, God, I am serious about that, okay? Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, this knocking is even more intense. It's not giving up. It's pounding the door until somebody answers. It's perseverance. I mean, do you think you can wear God out? Well, God wants you to persevere. I'm going to tell you that. Turn over to Luke 11. Starting in verse 5, there's a parable, okay? It says, then he said to them, suppose one of you... Oh, I'll let y'all turn. Sorry. I'm trying to get done. I don't like to keep y'all late, but you know, I really don't care. I do care since I worked out in children's last week, though. I got to go. Right, Matt? All right. I'm going for the kids. Okay. All right. Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Okay, there's some things that you can see in that. This guy has a relationship. He's going to his friend. He's got a relationship with this guy. And another thing that I saw in this is that because a friend of mine is on a journey, he's asking for things for others. It's not a selfish thing. He's asking for somebody for others, okay? He's others focused. And he realizes that this friend has something that he don't have, so he's asking this friend. But then we see that the one on the inside answer, don't bother me. For some of y'all, when y'all do that, God, and it feels like God's doing that, don't bother me. Feel like it's a closed door. I'm going to tell y'all right now, a closed door does not always mean that's God, okay? All right? A closed door does not always mean that you don't go through that door. Sometimes the closed door means you pray and you persevere and you wait for God to open that door, okay? Because we want the easy religion stuff. We want the thing where the door is open, the door is closed. We don't have to make no decisions, okay? We don't have to ask God nothing. It does not take any faith to walk through an open door. Okay, so I'm not saying an open door isn't God. Okay, God opens doors for us, but I'm going to tell you what, the relationship is what God wants from us. Okay, that's what he wants. He wants us to depend on him, asking him, and do not go on circumstances all the time. Circumstances is one of the things that you can use, but not always. Okay, in this case, right, the guy persisted. The guy said, man, this dude's bold. So he gets up and gets what he wants, okay? And there's something about that boldness. Okay? I mean, when I go boldly before my Lord, that tells God that I'm serious about what I'm talking about. Okay? I'm serious about this. All right? And in verse 13 it says, if then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So I'm going to tell you what, you ask God for the Holy Spirit, you're getting it. Because it is his will that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? I promise you. Because God, all God's trying to do is get us to ask for what he already wants to give us. All right? Okay. Let's go. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? See, that's that deal that Carrie was talking about. Man, we have an amazing daddy. Okay? He's better than any daddy you've ever had. He's better than any daddy that I've ever had. I'm going to tell you, he's an amazing daddy, and he wants to give us good gifts, okay? And as we've learned, he wants us to ask. But here's the thing about God. God's not tricking you, okay? If God's holding out on you, it's not because he's trying to mess with you. He's not trying to cramp your style, okay? He's not going to give you something that you ask for that's going to harm you, okay? And so many of us, man, we ask, man, we pound on the door, God. I mean, he wants us to ask, and he wants to give us what he wants to give us, okay? If you look in, even in this, these were things, fish, bread, these were things that they needed. These guys were not asking for something selfish, okay? So you never see God just answering the whims of people like that, okay? But he'll never give you something that's unharmed, that's going to harm you. I had a persistent son. My oldest son, Brent, was a very persistent young man, especially when it comes to sleeping by himself. And so this is one of the things that one little story that I can share, but I asked Dean about it because it kind of shows we're either good parents or bad parents, one or the other. I don't know. But there was an issue. I mean, he was very persistent. He kept knocking at our door. He wanted to go to bed with us. He wanted to sleep in the bed with us. Okay. And so I'm like, we realized and we reconciled as a family that that's not good for our marriage and that's not good for him to be 18, 19 years old sleeping with his parents or whatever. You know, I don't know when you cut it off once you get it started. So anyway, all right. Okay. So we decided to make a stand, you know, and that boy was very, very persistent. And one night, He laid up next to the, we just shut the door, the mom can't come in. Because that's going to harm him. That's going to harm our marriage. That's going to harm our relationship. We just felt like that was going to be a problem, okay? And so for that, we did not answer that prayer. He woke up the next morning, man, he talked about it. It was bad. Opened the door, Mary laid. But I'm going to tell you what, sometimes it takes that. God not answering our prayer. I don't care how persistent you are. Some of you are persistent in asking God for the wrong things right now. Okay. But I'm going to tell you right now, God will not give you something that's going to harm you. All right? Okay. The love of God has for His children, we can't compare to human love. See. I mean, y'all think I'm a good dad, bad dad, whatever, you know. Make good marriage. We have kids all in a room. No. You know what? After that, he went to bed early. On his own. You know? Sometimes you just make a stand. that's something else. I'm sorry. Right. So here's another reason in verse 12 that we really feel like that the prayers and what he's asking us to do has something to do with just others. Because otherwise, if it was just a teaching on prayer, what do I do with verse 12? Because it says in verse 12, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. You know what I mean? Somewhere you got to reconcile that. And so this sums up the law and the prophets, okay? That's the golden rule, which tells us to love your neighbor as yourself. And so as I think about it, in this prayer and reaching out to people, the dogs, the pigs, all that, and going kind of about, all back to what we talked about at the beginning. So what does loving your neighbor as yourself look like? And I asked myself, I said, you know, as a Christian, okay, if I was out there doing something, if I was sinning, if I was going out my own way, if I was leading on the road to destruction, would I want somebody to come get me? I'm going to tell you my answer to y'all, if that happens, is yes. Okay? If y'all see me out there, y'all see me falling, y'all see me floundering, come get me. Okay? That's doing to others as you would have them do to yourself. See, that's judging them under the same standard that you would have, that you would have yourself judged. Okay? Now, when I was lost, I don't know what I would have wanted you to do. Okay? Probably would have wanted you to backdoor evangelize me instead of come straight in. You know, I don't know. You know, but so those are the kind of things. That's what I'm saying. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay? But here's the thing. We always pray for others. I mean, in Revelation, I mean, we see Jesus. I don't know if I was going to do how much time we got, but I just want to read this real quick. In Revelation, Jesus does the same thing for us. He comes after us, okay, when we're out there. It says, these are the words of Revelation 3:14. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness. This is Jesus talking to the church at Laodicea. And see, this passage here, a lot of people take this out of context, and in the verse I'm fixing to read in a minute, they think it's talking about salvation. See, this was a group of people. This was a church. This was Christians. They had gotten lukewarm. Okay? This was Christians that he's talking to. He said, I know the deeds that you have are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, or neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. He's talking about the Christian church. Okay? And he says, so you say I'm rich. Here's what happened. They got so self-sufficient. He said, you say I'm rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. See, they'd already got to where they don't need God. Okay? This church had. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness and slay and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. See, God comes to us and he rebukes us and he disciplines us because he loves us. But look at this. So be earnest and repent. Okay, that's what God asked of the church. Be earnest and repent. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. See, even Jesus isn't going to just come busting in on you. He's waiting for you to let him in. That's the kind of God we have. God's not going to tackle you and make you serve him. Okay? This is the deal. I stand at the door and knock. And here's a great promise. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. What a beautiful picture of our Savior saying, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Come on, I'm here, you know. A beautiful picture. And in prayer, that's what we're supposed to be all about. For people, man, what about the people everybody already gave up on? Okay? Galatians 5:14 says, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law in one single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And it's idea of prayer. I want to read one more quote out of Murray's book, page 20. It says, there's many an earnest Christian life that has just enough prayer to maintain the position already attained, okay? But without much further spiritual growth in Christ-likeness. The former is more of a defensive attitude seeking to fight off temptation rather than an aggressive one that reaches after higher attainment. If we desire to grow from strength to strength and to experience God's power and sanctification and blessing on others, we must be more persevering. See, we got to quit praying defensively. And we got to begin to pray offensively, aggressively. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we're going to do that. I'm going to tell you what we have always wanted to be a church, a praying church, okay? And I'm going to tell you what, if there's ever anything to pray about, we have to pray about. And there's people out there, the dogs. I mean, you may want to pray for the dogs, you know? These people that you've given up on, these people that God will not allow you to fellowship with. But I'm going to tell you what, he did not tell you to quit praying for them. Okay? He did not tell you to quit praying for them. So tonight, what we're going to do, team's coming up in just a second, and I'll tell you what I want to do tonight for the invitation. I want to aggressively and boldly approach God in prayer tonight as a body. Okay? Okay? I want to do that tonight. Our time of invitation, y'all can do it in your seat if you want to come over here, but I'm going to tell you what, let me give you some things that we need to be praying about. The worries of the world will quit wearing people out. Okay? We need to pray for the impossible people, possibly even some of the dogs and pigs in our lives. Okay? Because when some of those dogs and those pigs come down this aisle and tell us how they received Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, there's revival. Okay? Revival. Some of y'all were dogs and pigs. Amen? Okay? Earnestly pray that God will deliver people from fear. Okay? We need deliverance in this place tonight. We need to pray that God would deliver people from addictions. Power and pull of sin that sin has on their lives. See, we always pray for things for us, man. There's people out there that have sin just ripping in their life, ripping their lives apart, and we don't even pray for them, church. Okay? And we need to pray that God will break some generational curses. And there's things you learn from your father, your parents, whatever it is, that still hinder you today, and we need to get rid of that. We need to pray that out of there. We need to ask, seek, and knock. I'm going to ask you to come tonight. You want to come pray, man? We'll pray over you. I'm going to just tell you, church, we need to become a praying church. We need to pray for some wayward children. Okay? I want to tell you what, my kids, by the grace of God, are godly men now. But I'm going to tell you what, both of them, for 2 or 3 years, were wayward. And within those times, my heart was out of my chest. Okay? I went to Brooklyn Tabernacle with the staff. They had a prayer list, and they said, if you write that name down, we're going to pray for that, for your kid. And I wrote that name down because, you know what, there was a spirit in that place that I hadn't felt before. So I wrote that name down. And I gave it to him. And he called me up there. He didn't call me because I wrote him, but he called me up there, and I was just praying for my kid.
years later, God brought it back. We gotta pray, we gotta ask God, we gotta speak. We gotta knock. Because I'm gonna tell you what. You students, y'all have some altar hands, okay? I'm gonna pray for some altar hands tonight, and we want some deliverance. And I want God to show up, because here's what I ask you to do, okay? Even if you don't come up pray tonight, we got some prayer, intercessory prayer cards up there. If there's somebody you're praying for, you've already given up on, if there's somebody you want us to pray for, would you please fill that card out? Because I'm gonna tell you what, we'll keep that card on file, and we'll pray over it every week until God delivers, okay? And we want to be a praying church. I want to pray for repentance in the church. Personal recordings. Well, those are just some things to pray. So Chad, y'all come up. Gonna do like a normal invitation. I mean, and we just pray. And if you don't want to come up here and pray, you don't have to come up here and pray. But those prayer cards, I beg you to present your request to the Lord. Ask, seek, and knock, okay? Let's pray for these people that we've given up on. Because here's the thing I know about my God. He did not give up on me, and that had given me a resolve to never give up on anybody again. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, I just thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you for their resolve, Lord, to stay here, Lord, and on a long message, God. And I just pray, God, that somehow, God, you will break through here tonight, God. Lord, as we begin to pray, Lord, and even, Lord, we just lift it up to you, Lord. Tonight is your night. Our life is your life, and in everything, lift us up to you, God. We're going to ask, seek, knock. Lord, wear us out when we have a tendency to give up. God, show us how great you are.